If you'd like, you can turn to Ephesians 5. We'll refer to that a couple of times. We're in a topical study through what the Lord would have us to do with our time. And so we'll refer to a number of places. And as I said, if you want the notes for the message, just let me know. I'll be glad to give those to you in digital form. If it need be, we can print them for you as well. Have you ever been sitting at a dinner table and you have a pitcher of punch or some kind of a drink there other than water, and someone knocks it over, and it goes everywhere? And there in that moment are typically two kinds of people, two kinds of reactions to that. There are the people who mouths drop wide open, eyes get big, and they stand there in utter shock and do nothing. Anybody like that, you just, when something like that happens, you're just stunned. I don't know what to do. And you're just kind of paralyzed. Or maybe it's not the drink thing. It's some other emergency or circumstance happens and you just freeze. Anybody like that? You're a deer in the headlights. You just kind of freeze when that happens. Okay. Others of you, we are the type that we spring to action. We jump out of our seats. We grab paper towels. We grab whatever we need to get. And we get everything cleaned up and we take care of it and we move to act. Anybody like that? You're the one who springs to action. Okay. So we have some more action-oriented people than passive. Did you know that theologically there is a challenge for us, because sometimes God wants us to act and sometimes he wants us to do nothing. In fact, there was a guy, this is an old story, there was a guy who was lost out at sea. He drifted out on a piece of wood or board and he's out there in the middle of the ocean, and he's a follower of Christ, and he's asking the Lord, please, Lord, deliver me. Send someone, you know, rescue me. Help me out of this situation. And after some time, a submarine comes by and surfaces, and the top opens up, and a man comes out and says, you lost here. You need help. Come on in. We'll rescue you. And the guy says to the man, no. It's okay. The Lord's going to help me out of this situation. And the submarine guy pleads with him, tries to get him to get aboard the submarine. And the guy says, no. I'm just trusting in Jesus. I know that Jesus is going to save me from this situation. After much imploring of him to get in, eventually the people in the submarine leave. They descend back into the water and they're gone. And the man's there pleading with the Lord. Lord, please rescue me. I'm stuck. I'm lost at sea. Before he knows it, this big cruise ship comes by. And they happen to notice the guy there floating in the midst of the ocean. And they send out a message and say, listen, we're going to drop a lifeboat to you. Please get in. We're going to help you get back to where you need to be. And the guy says, no. It's all right. Jesus is going to save me, okay? Yeah, I'm all right. And they kept trying to plead with him. No, get in the boat. Take the lifeboat. No, it's all right. Jesus is going to save me. Well, then eventually the ship continues about their cruise and they leave, and he no longer sees them anymore, and he's praying and asking the Lord to rescue him. And then after some time, a helicopter comes above and sees them down there, and they get on the megaphone and they say, we're going to throw you a rope. We're going to help you. And they throw the rope down, and you know what he says? No. It's okay. You don't need to rescue me. Jesus is my Savior. I just trust in Jesus, and he's going to take care of me. So eventually they leave, and the guy drowns. And then he stands before God, and he says, God, I was lost at sea, and I just trusted in you, and you never helped me. Why didn't you rescue me? And the Lord said, I did. I tried three times, but you wouldn't take my help. You know, sometimes, because we know that those who wait patiently on the Lord, you know, he takes care of things. We know that he calls us to be still before him and wait on him. And so we think that because that is a reality, then we don't need to do anything. You know, God will take care of it. If I have a problem, I just wait on God to take care of it. And many of us, because of an imbalance in understanding the whole picture of Scripture, we think with life that when things fall apart or things are a mess, then I just need to wait for God to do something about it. And while sometimes that is the case, there are other times when we need to act and we need to do something. And there's scripture on both sides. And that's the hard thing when sometimes with scripture, we can tend to pick the things we like in scripture, the things that fit with what we think we should be doing, but we don't hear the whole thing. And the Bible says, just like when you look at Ecclesiastes 3, there's a time for different things. There's a time to be inactive and passive and wait, and then there's a time to do things. But how do we know when is the time to act and when is the time to be passive? And on our various platforms, on the YouTube channel and the Facebook page, I have a teaching series on discernment and how to get into that. And I'll let you to that to get more nuts and bolts of the discerning of when do I act and when do I remain passive. But for this morning, we're going to focus on when it's time to act. What do I do? How do I act? How do I do the things? So you have things that need to happen in your life. And the question is, if I do something, what do I do? And is there actually Bible to taking action? And I'm going to show you there is. In Luke chapter 14, Jesus tells a parable. In verses 25 to 33, he tells a parable of a man who builds a house, builds a structure. And he says that a wise builder, before he builds it, he sits down and he counts the cost. And he thinks through the plan and the structure and how to go about building. And some of you know this, Dan and Elmer and Sean knows this well, that if you don't sit down and plan out the structure before you make it, you don't make it all that well. And so we have to sometimes be strategic, and it's not just in a building. Sometimes it's in a conversation. Sometimes it's in a relationship. Sometimes it's in ministering. Sometimes it's in your job that we need to sit down and think. In fact, Proverbs 21 verse 5 says, "The plans of the diligent lead surely to abundance, but everyone who is hasty comes to poverty." Now, some of you are planners, and so this verse doesn't hurt you. And others of you, you're hasty. You just kind of go and jump at things without thinking. And ouch, that one's a little... Anybody a planner? Anybody likes to sit down and plan things out? Anybody you just jump right in without thinking? Okay. And sometimes that's what's needed, because I'm a planner. And so if the house is on fire, you don't want me, because I'm going to spend 30 minutes trying to figure out, all right, how do we get out of here the right way? And we'll just all die. So those of you that are a little more impulsive, we need you in those kind of circumstances. But even in those moments of I have to act now, you still need to think some. You still need to think on the go, and you need to think about what you're doing. God never wants us to just mindlessly jump into things. In fact, in our Ephesians 5 passage that we've been focusing on, the time statement in there, verse 15 says, "Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise." So part of the acting, jumping into action, is to think before you act. Some of us wish too far after the fact that, oh, I wish I would have thought before I said that. Have you ever done that before? Where you just, it came to you and you said it. And maybe even in the moment you thought, this is the Holy Spirit telling me to say this, and boom, I say it. And once it's out of your mouth, or ever feel like you can almost see the words floating out of your mouth towards the other person and think, no, because I didn't think about it. I just said it, or I just did it. And there's some of us that we mess things up, we break things, we make our lives kind of a wreck, we're too hasty because we act without thinking. And I'm telling you, there's a reason why it's wisdom to think first, because you get yourself out of a world of trouble if you stop first and think before you say it. If you stop and think before you do it. And I wonder how many things we can figure out to be able to make the most of our time and do the right things and be able to have a life that actually serves eternal purposes and significance if we start thinking about what we're doing. And this is in the practical way as well. You don't need to sit down and plan out your entire day minute by minute necessarily. But those of you that are busy, the busier you are, the more you need to think, all right, how do I plan this day out? Do you ever feel like you have so much in the day, you think, how in the world am I going to get it done? it's the planners, and unfortunately, I'm saying this from someone who this isn't my struggle, but it's the planners. It's the ones who think. It's the ones who schedule things. It's the one who, this thing acts as my memory sometimes. Because, and you guys know, I've teased many of you when you say, hey, can you do this? Can you text me and tell me that, or email me and tell me that? And even then sometimes, have you ever, at times, you've made an alarm for it, you made a to-do task, you've sent you some reminder, and still you forgot to do it? So help us if we don't even try to use the technology and the things that we have to try to help keep us on task. So think about, sit down. It's not a waste of time to sit down and think, how am I going to live throughout this day? How am I going to be able to get all these things together and have a strategy, a plan in place to get things taken care of? The third possession, if you will, as we've been the last few weeks, these possessions we need to have to be able to manage our time well, is focus. Anybody ever have a hard time with focus? Now, some of you grew up at a time when they didn't have a diagnosis called ADD, but any of you feel like if you were to be diagnosed, you might have that, where you just your mind just goes different places. It's hard for you to focus on things. And if that's you, then that might be reason why certain things don't happen, because you're not focused. In fact, God calls us to be focused. Galatians 6, verse 10 says, so then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. As we have opportunity. So when the moment presents itself, we leap into action. We capitalize on the moment, and we do something. But I can't do that if I don't see the opportunity that's before me. Paul also says in Ephesians 4, verse 5, walk in wisdom toward outsiders, making the best use of the time. Remember how we talked about, I don't know if that was last week or the week before, if you work a job where there's time on the job where you're not doing something and you can converse with your peers and your coworkers, at that time, make the best use of your time and minister to people. You're on the clock, you're being paid, and the bosses will allow it, then use that time. Make the best use of your time. But I can't do that if I'm not looking for it constantly. I think sometimes, anybody like me, when I go to the grocery store or any kind of store, I have a plan in mind. I know where the thing is that I want to get. I'm going to put my head down, and I'm going to dart in there for that thing. I'm going to get it and get out of there. Anybody like me, that's how you like to shop? There's a problem with that, though, and that is if the Lord's going to bring someone in your path to minister to, you won't see them because you're just trying to get out of there. And we do that sometimes in life. We get focused on, and this is where the plan or the strategy can even get in the way of us at times. We get focused on the thing that I need to get done, and we're not alert to the needs around me. And if you want to know how to, because sometimes, do you ever just think, you know, I want to share my faith with someone, but I don't know when or with who or how to go about it. And sometimes it's because the relationships enter into our lives, or have you ever had someone say something to you that indicated that they wanted to talk about their needs or what they're going through, or they wanted to talk about even things that are spiritual, and then you just kind of said something very like small and casual, you know, okay, you know, I'll be praying for you. I got to get going, but I'll be praying for you. And when you walk away, you had that instant check of, I just missed a big opportunity right there. I could have said something. And that's because we're not waking up in the morning and saying, all right, Lord, what's going on around me? Who's around me that needs me? Who's around me that I can love on? Who's around me that I can share things with? Who's around me that I can be with? What do people need of me? And looking, what does the Bible say? Be alert, be aware, watch. We often miss things because we're not doing that, and we're not taking care of things. And just like I said with my girls in school, at home school, the moment Heather pauses for anything, they want to run and find something fun to do because they're focused on finding the fun. And if we get focused on, in the spiritual realm, focused on ministering to people and doing things in people's lives, then when the opportunity comes, we'll spring to action. But if we're not focused, then we just kind of tend to fill our time with this device and with TV and internet and other things working on our house, and we just kind of fill up the time unless we're looking for things. So we need to be focused on watching things. And this is true in the practical sense that if you feel like you're not able to manage your time, you can't get everything done, then look for, like, we have six people in my house. So you can imagine how much laundry goes through the washer and dryer. And if we were to fold it, I mean, we would probably take an entire day or more to do all the laundry in the house. So you know what I have to do, and Heather has to do at times? Just, oh, look, there's a five-minute break here. You know what we could do? Run down and switch the load of laundry and put the next thing into the washer and the dryer. You just got to be thinking, okay, you know what? All right, the kids are busy right now. Now I can wipe down the counters, or we can do something, or I can make that phone call or whatever. And it's those kind of people that are always looking for, where's the opportunity to slip in the responsibility that needs to be taken care of, the ministry, the spiritual thing? Those are the people that stand before God, like that Corinthian passage where all my life's work is thrown in the fire before Him and burned up, and there's eternal stuff left to present before God. It's the people who stay focused, who strategize, who plan, who make sure that they do the best things they can with their time. Those are the people that have that to offer to God. And don't you want to have things that you can present before God and say, Lord, this is what I did with my life. I did all those things. Third possession we need to have is an awareness of time. Psalm 90, verse 12 says, so teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom. And not that we know exactly how many days we have, but we know there's a limit, right? We know that at some point, my life's going to be over. And being mindful of that, being aware of that, will urge me to not waste my time, to not just wait for something to happen. Psalm 39, verse 4 and 5 says, O Lord, make me know my end and what is the measure of my days. Let me know how fleeting I am. Behold, you have made my days a few handbreadths, and my lifetime is as nothing before you. Surely all mankind stands as a mere breath. Life is short. And we know that because we have moments where we're panicked because we don't feel like we can get the thing done because of how little time is left. And as much as we sometimes act like we have all the time in the world, have you ever been driving behind someone who acts like they have all the time in the world? Or walking down the aisle behind someone on a cart feels like they have all the time in the world? And we do that sometimes. We think that time is limitless. And yet we've experienced a couple of deaths in our body recently in which you go back 3 months ago and we would have thought Mark had years left ahead of him. And then before we know it, something happens and he's in the hospital and he's gone. Jandy, though at the age of 78 and didn't really act like a 78-year-old, just 3 or 4 weeks ago, we would have never thought that today she'd be gone from among us. And then before we knew it, a stroke hit her, and within a week or so, she was gone. Time is gone. The time limit ran up. And we need to realize that when we're sitting on our phones, when we're watching TV, when we're getting that nap in or resting or relaxing or working on our home, and not that there's anything wrong in those things. And like we've been saying, we all need to rest. We all need to take care of our bodies and do those kind of things. But only enough that's sufficient to get along because we don't have time. There is so little time. And not only will we lose our life at some point or Jesus will return, but the people around us that we are meant to minister to, meant to make an impact on, meant to do something in their lives, we don't know when they're going to be gone. And so if your time limits another 5, 10, 15 years, theirs might be a week. And so we have a limit of time, and may we know that and keep that in mind and spring to action. And it's not only just death. It's also, we don't know, sometimes someone will move away. Have you ever had a neighbor that you kept thinking, you know, I'm going to reach out to them, I'm going to get to know them, I'm going to do something, and you were there next door to them for years, and then before you know it, you finally think, I'm going to, you know, spend some time here. They're like, oh, by the way, we're moving. Or your kids, and we listen to the Cats in the Cradle last week and the Silver Spoon and the whole idea of my child growing up without me. And you have a child that you think they're just going to be here forever, and before you know it, they're adults and they're moving on to other things. They're not dead. They've not left this life, but their life circumstances are changed where for a while, for years, they were in your home, they were there with you, they were wanting to be with you, and that time's now lost. Time is of the essence to do the things that God has called us to do. Or even at times when someone opens their heart to you and there's a moment that they're open and willing to listen to what you have to say and they're asking for your help. Did you know that that open heart also has a time limit on it? Where at some point things change and the person isn't as open to you now as they were before and the moment was lost. And that's why when we see the good opportunity, when we see the person that were before, every moment take the opportunity, because your willingness to act could mean the world in all of eternity. Could mean the difference in a person's life. Could mean it changes things. It could mean sometimes it's even earthly things. It could mean that it improves your health. It improves financial things. It improves relationships. It's not all just spiritual. It includes a lot of things where if you decide, I'm going to do the right thing. I'm going to do the thing that needs to be done, and I'm going to do it now. Anybody procrastinators? Do you know how many people get things done by procrastinating? Anybody the type who just likes to wing it and thinks, you know, you just like things to happen organically, so it'll happen, you know? Anybody who takes that approach to life that it'll happen, how often have you found that it actually happens? That's why the plans of the diligent, as Proverbs says, is the one that wins the day. Because if I do the stuff, that's what happens. And so I can stand there and be in stunned shock that the punch is spilling all over the place. But it's not going to get cleaned up if I don't spring to action. If you have children, you will know this experience that there is that thing that's sitting on the floor and no one's picking it up. And walk by it, and you see your children walk by it day after day, and you're waiting for them to do it because you know that it's their responsibility, it's their thing. And eventually you say, hey, why haven't you picked that up? And sometimes they're willing to say, you know, well, I thought you were going to pick it up, or I thought my sister was going to do it, or sometimes they just do the classic, oh, they ever do that to you? And the people, I don't know if you know this, anybody like biographies? If you've read biographies of people that have accomplished things, whether worldly or spiritually, you know what you'll find a common thread amongst them? It's not that they were necessarily amazing people, or that they had greater intellect than you, or they were more powerful than you, or they had greater privileges and opportunities than you. You know what usually is the difference between them and everybody else? They decided to do something. What was the Nike slogan? Do you remember that? Just do it. And again, next week we'll get into the passive, that there are times that you're just supposed to do nothing and wait. But there are numerous times that we need to spring into action and do things. And so that loved one of yours that doesn't know Christ, what are you waiting for? That relationship that's kind of drifted or even grown sour, what are you waiting for? That job or the work that you can do to kind of work on fixing your financial situation, what are you waiting for? Apply. Do it. I'm amazed, and we'll get into finances in a couple weeks or so. I'm amazed that at times when I talk to people and I find out the financial situation they're in. Now, there's a difference between when it's like this urgent bill that comes up and there's not time to do anything about it. But I'm amazed at how many times people are in financial situations and I say, all right, well, let's do this. Let's get this to take place. Let's cancel this subscription. Get rid of this bill. Let's find a job real quick. There's someone over here that will let you work. And just so you know, if you are looking for that, Christine Bernardi, if you know her, she manages the Bellevue Pizza Hut. She's always looking for employees, but sometimes it's beneath us to work at a pizza place. It's amazing how many people struggle financially and there's too many jobs that are beneath them. And I'm amazed at the people that are in those financial situations. You know what they do? Nothing. Now, I'm not talking about everybody. I'm not talking about that everybody that's in a financial situation is because they want to act. But many times, you have someone who has month after month after month after month, there's bill issues, and they're not canceling something. They're not trying to get a job, and it's time to do something. Why do we always wait for God to take care of it all? Well, it's because we have those verses that say, wait patiently on the Lord. And should we do that? Yes. But sometimes the Lord is waiting for you to do. In fact, you know what's kind of funny? in relationships, when we have relational needs and we think, I want someone to tend to me. I want someone to give me attention. I want someone to seek me. You know, I don't want to appear needy, so I know I want friends and stuff, but I'm going to wait for them to come to me. You know what that implies? That implies that somebody else, some other human being, has to take action. So you don't actually believe that God just needs to make everything happen. You believe that a person has to take action. Almost everything that God does, he does in tandem with people. Why do we have prophets? Why do we have preachers and pastors and teachers? Why do we have leaders? Why do we have Jesus saying, to whomever you've done, to the least of these, you've done to me? Why do we have Jesus saying, how dare you, or James saying, how dare you see the need and do nothing? This is God's hands. These are God's feet, is the activity of the people. And yet all the while we're saying, well, I'm doing nothing, Lord, because I'm just trusting in you. How much world change, how much life change, how much change in our families are waiting for us to do something? There's only one trait, and we'll end with this point here. There's only one pursuit that, in that Ephesians passage, that he gives us a specific thing to do, to be pursuing. And while we know we need to be praying and we need to study the scripture, and that's there in different ways, but in that Ephesians 5 passage, you know what instruction as far as a thing to pursue that he tells us to do? In verses 19 through 21, he says, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. You know what one of the biggest things that the Lord wants you to do with your time? Christian relationships. Being in fellowship with each other. Pursuing one another. Don't wait for someone to pick up the phone and call you. You pick up the phone and call them. Don't wait for someone to invite you to their house for dinner. You invite them to your house for dinner. Don't wait for them to offer to give you the hug. You offer to give them the hug. Don't wait for them to give the encouragement. You give them the encouragement. Pursue those Christian relationships. What we're living for shouldn't just be that I'm making sure I spend time in prayer. Do I need to do that? Absolutely. But that's not the big picture of the activity of the follower of Jesus Christ. Reading and studying the Bible isn't enough if you don't do anything with it. If you know all the right things to do and you don't spring to action, what good is it to know the stuff? James says we're supposed to be doers of the word, not just sit there and enjoy reading it, but to do something with it. Going to church and attending the services and singing the songs and listening to the message and then leaving and going out the door is not enough to be seeking the kingdom of God. We need to seek each other out and befriend one another and encourage one another and admonish one another and hold each other accountable and not wait for pastor to come up with some program for me to jump into to be a part of. And we'll do that, you know. That's why we have the connection groups and we're trying to get those back into activity again. That's why we do the food and fellowship events and other events, and we have men's and women's things that take place. And if you don't know this, the men have every Saturday at noon have a meeting in that back room for a time of prayer and Bible study and just a conversation with each other. And every week it's just been a delightful conversation and a source of encouragement. And so we have things like that in place. We're doing that pilot small group in hopes of possibly expanding that into multiple groups. And so we'll do things to try to give you places and opportunity to do those things. But don't wait until the right program comes along for you to do Christian relationships. Seek them now. Call people now, because you don't know when time is over. Whether time is over in your life or that person's life, or just the moment itself passes, don't wait for eternity to pass you by. In fact, that's the reason why most of what we're told to do in the body of Christ has to be done in relationships. Matthew 28 says, go and make disciples, teaching one another. Mark 16 says, go and preach the gospel. That involves me getting involved in people's lives to see that happen. 1 Corinthians 12 talks about the way the body is to function with the gifts of the Spirit. And we are to prophesy to one another and admonish one another and serve one another and lead one another. And I can't do that if I'm not in community and in relationships. Acts chapter 2. I don't know how a person could read through Acts chapter 2 and not realize that we're meant to be together, when day after day they were with one another, encouraging one another, and spending time in prayer and the word and in fellowship and all of those things. And that's the way the church did function, and that's the way the church was instructed to function. In Ephesians chapter 4, the gifts, the fourfold or fivefold ministry of the church was given. Why? So that the body can begin to do the ministry and serve one another and do the things. You know when revival and awakening comes? When people start doing the call that Jesus has for them. Do we need to pray? Yes. But I think sometimes we're praying and we're just waiting for God to make it happen. Instead of just, what does he say? Does he say, pray for 3 months until that person, so that God will save that person? Or does he say, go into all the world and preach the gospel? Does he say, pray and fast and study your Bible so that the world will be changed? No, he says, go and meet the needs and serve others and be there for people. We need to pray, yes, but we need to be people of action. Will you stand with me? Worship team, will you come and prepare to lead us? Just do it. Do the things that God has called us to do, both in the kingdom mindset as well as the personal responsibility that we have. So if you have a moment and your child is there asking you to do something with them, whatever that thing is, you know, sometimes we have busyness that just constantly hangs over us, do we not? And I have to get back to my list, and I have the next thing that I have to accomplish. And sometimes there is a timing to that, and there are things we need to tend to, and we have to say no for different reasons. I know that Saturdays are typically a little challenging with my family life and stuff to get away and do a church-type thing. And so I even told the guys, I don't know, you know, how often I will be there, but I decided if noon shows up, and there's no reason that I can get away and delay something and come. The house can wait a little bit longer or whatever. I go, you know what I found the last 3 weeks I was there? Because if you decide, if you put it in your mind that you're going to do it if you can, who cares if your house is a mess? Who cares if your car is a mess? Who cares if, there's some kind of household responsibility that didn't get done? Do you think the household responsibility things are going to last the fire of judgment and stand before God and say, look at the immaculate house I kept. Look at how many tasks I got done. Look at how well I performed my job. You know, what's going to stand before him is the way you did your relationships, the health of your relationships and how you use those to demonstrate the love of Jesus Christ, and you use those to see the kingdom of God further. And so my question for you is, how much time has been wasted for you? And you know what the cool thing is? We serve a redeeming God. And so you may have blown it and missed it. You might have a relationship that's soured. But that doesn't mean you can't reach out again and try to do it over. That doesn't mean you can't apologize and say, I'm sorry, I need to make this right. And that doesn't mean that at the other end of that, there might be a healing that takes place. There might be a restored relationship. There might be someone coming to know Jesus Christ. There might be the joy of just the delight of being with that person. And so as the worship team takes a moment to lead us, do you need to repent this morning? Do you need to apologize to the Lord for not being on it, doing the stuff? And maybe in the name of trust, in the name of hope, in the name of faith, in the name of being faithful to the Lord, somehow you ended up being unfaithful because you weren't doing things. You were waiting for him to take care of it. You and I, we're the body of Christ. We're the hands. We're the feet. He waits for us to do the stuff he calls us to do. So if you want to come down to these altars and say, Lord, I need to make this right. I need to start seeking to do the stuff. Then come and let him move in your life. Come and let him empower you and give you the Holy Spirit. Let's seek him this morning. James says that who are we but a vapor or a mist? We're here today and we're gone tomorrow. So when we leave this place, keep an eternal mindset and do the things that God has called you to do, and again, Again, there's balance to that. As long as we're honest before the Lord, we know there's a time we need to rest and there's a time we need for ourselves. And there's nothing wrong in finding a space for entertainment and those kind of things. We need to work a job. We need to sleep, all of that stuff. But let's not waste the other time. You know, when we've done doing what we needed to do with our earthly responsibilities, fill the rest of the time with God's kingdom work. Do the things He's called you to do. And who knows what divine appointments are possibly out there waiting for us. Amen? So, Lord, we thank You for Your work in us. We thank You for Your word. We thank You for Your willingness to be with us and work in our lives. And we ask, Lord, that You would help us to let our eyes be opened. Lord, You said that You quoted the Old Testament when referring to the people that they are seeing but never seeing. They have ears to hear, but they're never hearing. Let that not be true of us, Lord. Let us see what's around us. Let us hear what's around us. And let us be Your hands and Your feet, Your eyes and Your ears. Let us be the body of Christ, others, as You've called us to be. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you so much for being with us today. Next week, we're going to wrap up time before we get into other things. Not that time will come to an end next week, but we'll be done with that part of it. Offering plates are in the back, so if you want to give this morning, just give in the offering plates when you leave, or you can give online. Those of you that were streaming with us, if we had some disturbance there and you're watching this later, sorry for the disturbance, but we're glad that we can provide it to you at some point later. So God bless you. See you next Sunday.